Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
This morning, I want to continue as I minister the word of God. As we've been going through Nehemiah, and I'm now at Nehemiah chapter 8. And the message today is we're rebuilding faithfulness in this season, faithful to everything we do for the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God. And the message today is the word of God is imperative. The word of God is imperative. In January, or in December we put it out, but we started in January, I asked everyone, make sure that you get spiritually fit. This is a devotional breakdown of the Bible, so you read the entire Bible through in 1 year. And you can still get this online. You can request it. We'll PDF it to you. In-house, if you didn't get one, they'll have some at the desk today. You can pick up. We're only at March, so you can still pick up and keep going. But it is in this day and age we live in, it is extremely imperative that we are reading through the Word of God. Now, I picked on folks last week, those of you that weren't here. I said, everyone, bring your Bible. So now, let me see those. And if you weren't here, you're forgiven. And if you forgot, you're forgiven. So let me see it. Raise them high. Raise them good and high. There we go. All right. Now you wonder, Pastor, why did you make us bring it? And for me, it's an easy, because I have multiple Bibles in the office. So I confess to the earlier part, but I'll confess to you. So I have multiple Bibles in the office. I have multiple Bibles at home. And study Bibles and different languages, and I even have different versions. I love Bible, and I'm a preacher, so I have to have multiple Bibles. That's me, right? But we were coming out, and my PA said, "The Bible." I'm like, "Oh yes, I did." So that's part of the reason I did it is because we're so often forgetting the Bible. I preach the Word of God, the Bible. I preach it directly from the Word. You've not seen me not put the Word up, but because I preach it from my iPad that I bring into text, because I print it sometimes at prayer meeting, I have found that in the church, I'm hardly seen with my Bible. That's why I even forgot this morning. It's on shelves in my office, in my bookcase. But we need to be picking it up from time to time and reminding ourselves that this book matters. And the biggest reason it came in my heart, there's going to come a season when you're not even going to find it on your devices, and you better not be getting rid of the one that you have at home somewhere, because this is going to become a commodity that you may find that you'll be persecuted for. So I'm encouraging everyone, get a Bible. And there are many reasons I will share it in the Word today, but don't allow yourself to be so into the new age of technology that you forget there's nothing that will last forever like the printed word. Can I hear that again? Did anyone say amen online? If not, online chat host, you talk to them there for me. Nothing is going to help us in seasons of distress but that we have the Word of God and that we remember that the Word is life. So today, as I go through Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 to 8, here it is. All the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. They asked Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. So on October 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included the men and women and all the children old enough to understand. He faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. And all the people listened closely to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform that had been made for the occasion. To his right stood Matthiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. To his left stood Pedaiah, Mishael, Malja, Hashum, Hashbandan, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra stood on the platform in the full view of all the people. And when they saw him open the book, they all rose to their feet. Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, Amen, Amen, as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Banai, Sherebiah, Janin, Abkub, Shebabathai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelita, Azariah, Jozabah, Hanan, and Peliah, then instructed the people in the law while everyone remained in their places. They read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand the passage. I love technology. Wow. Well, either the Lord was showing me something or the devil was trying something. Because my text and my PA will tell you, I always say, okay, she says, did you download? And we downloaded. And as I finished reading, it just went into nowhere. And there it is, back again. But never let the devil defeat you. How many remember years ago when my message disappeared off my iPad or it froze or something? From that day, I always keep a print. Every week, I say, Leah, I have a print. So young preachers around the world, always have a print. Not that I couldn't preach it without writing, but if I preach the text without writing, you got to give me an extra hour. Praise God. The word of God is imperative. God's word is not just suggestive. It is imperative, meaning it is crucial, it is essential, it is absolute for life or for death, in life or in death. It's not just a book that you can ignore, or is it just given to read and there's no consequences? You are accountable for the reading of the word of God's word, and you're accountable to God's word. So instead, it is an essential component for the healthy life and prosperous life and future that we want to live. It is the word of God that will lead us to heaven. I know others think they can pay their way to heaven. You see folks now that are paying everything. They can pay the sun, the moon, and the star. Can I tell you one thing you don't have to worry about? They'll never pay their way to heaven. Because it is only the word of God that can lead you to eternal life. So one of the reasons why we gather together for corporate services in church, here are some of the reasons we come together. We come together to worship God. So there's an atmosphere of praise that transcends our feelings and our emotions and helps us when one is weak, then one is strong. We come together, to pray one for another. And let me pause to say, last Sunday night, we had the most explosive call to prayer that I have ever experienced. Anybody with me today? And if you, it is still online, just go and look for last week's date, February 26th, and just, you've got to embrace that prayer. To hear our young people praying, our teenagers praying, adults, the place was crescendoed with the glory of God. And it comes even through the airwaves because the presence of the Lord was so thick in this place. But when we come together corporately like that and pray, heaven is open before us. And so we also come together to have community of like-mindedness in spiritual purposes. When we don't come together, we're not moving together in one. This one's doing their thing. That one's off on a tangent. This one's climbing the tree. And this one's got this. The coming together helps us to come back in the right mindset together. Another reason when we come together is that we can read the word, we can hear the word, we can study the word, we can hear the word dissected by rightly dividing the word of truth. We can recommit ourselves to obedience to the word. Sometimes we forget what we're to be obeying and it comes out. So we coming together for corporate worship, it must be an imperative part of our lifestyle because the word of God is an imperative part of our life. When Nehemiah and his leaders completed the walls and the gates, and then last week we talked about counting, that numbers matter. When Nehemiah counted the people, he then said, okay, the next major undertaking is to ensure that we're getting back to the reading and the heeding of God's word. He says, all of these things, you've taken care of all this. Now let's sit down and read and hear God's word. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1. Nehemiah called them together to accomplish this task, imperative task. He says this, all the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. And here's what I love. It says, and they asked Ezra and the scribe to bring out the book of the law, which was given. Nehemiah called them together to encourage them, to bless them, to pray over them. And they're like, no, get the book of the law and let us hear it read before us. You should be demanding the word of God that it comes forth. And I know you don't have to ask of this church because I preach the word. But there are many people who have the word, say the word, reference a scripture, but they don't preach the word. The Bible says preach it in season and out of season. This is what we dissect and preach because this is the only thing that gives life. And so these are the elements that was instructed as they ask him, bring out the word. And he began to read the word as we read in chapter 1. And the first thing it instructed them, it says, be unified in purpose. Everything in the book of Nehemiah from chapter 1 to now keeps reminding us that they were powerful when they were unified in purpose. That be unified in purpose. There's a godly purpose that we must stay on track with despite the advances of the enemy. We must stay on track. When God's children stay on track and are unified, regardless of the battles, regardless of the roar of the enemy, they have power to overcome and wisdom to know which direction to go. We've seen it over and over. And so I'm going to pause right here because I believe nowadays we're going to have to be vigilant in everything we do and say. I'm going to pause right now and pray for something that is essential. And I want you that are in agreement with me to join me in prayer. I'm going to pray for the EU that they be united in purpose. I'm going to pray for NATO that they remain united in purpose. I'm going to pray for the World Health Organization that they remain united in purpose. This is not a time for personal agenda. They must come together and be united in purpose. Would you pray with me? Father God, we list, oh God, these three world entities that are being stripped and pulled apart. But God, as we read what Nehemiah instructed the people is what our leaders around the world need to do. We speak to the UE that when they come together, that they'd be united in purpose. Not one trying to get and another trying to have, but instead they will focus on what the advance of the enemy is about and they'd put their mind to working together in unity and in purpose. We pray, God Almighty, for NATO. My God, the alliances they formed was to protect us from war. Now, God, they see, oh God, the threatenings on every side, and every one of those leaders are trembling. But we, the church, lift them up in prayer, and we remind them the word of Nehemiah: stay unified in purpose, and the blessings of God will be with you, and the wisdom of God will guide you. My God, I pray for the World Health Organization. God, sicknesses are traveling from world to world, and they need, oh God, mighty answers. They need divine miracles. Oh God Almighty, cause them to be united in purpose, not to look at how the rich can get vaccines, but God, you tend to the poor, that they would supply what is needed to every nation in the world. God, stop the lies, oh God, when they block it from one to give it to another. God, you tend to the poor and the marginalized and the weak. So God, help them to be united in purpose and fulfill the purposes of God, because you're a merciful God. Now, God, cause them to get on their knees and on their faces and ask you for wisdom for the task at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah said, stay focused and be united. When you're unified, when as believers we're unified, there is no power that can break us. Secondly, he said, let's teach the family of God the word of God. The child who can read well, who is being read to often, has a much better opportunity of understanding God's word. We raise children, teaching them nursery rhyme and reading little Mr. Zeus book over them. Read the word of God over them also. Mr. Zeus won't help them when all things break loose and when they get to a higher level and all of the advances of the enemy and the devices of the enemy are against them. The word of God must be in them. They said, all of the kids that can understand, bring them to sit and hear the word of God. The assembly said it included men and women and all the children old enough to understand. They were called together. I'm encouraging you, call together your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and read the word of God. That's why we went through the Proverb Challenge, and those that didn't get a part of it, go back to our Proverb series and let that word come alive in the next generation, for they will need to have moral values in order to make it in this world. In many countries, the children have been educated by the word of God, in English, pardon me, English, by studying the word of God. And that's what made many nations have revival. We need to, now we're in free land, but the last thing we're giving them is the word of God. And we think the church should do it on Sunday, but we bring them halfway through the service. Oh my God, we've got to get serious about the things of God. We're blessed above all generations to have so many ways and so many opportunities to read God's word. There are so many options. You've got the Bible. You've got the Bible on screen. You've got the Bible online. You've got the Bible on phones. Every device has the Bible. You don't even have to read the Bible yourself. You can have the device read the Bible to you. Come on now. Just ask me what Nehemiah would have thought of that. Whoa. You can have it read to you while you're driving, but no, we got to listen to Chom FM instead. You better switch Chom out in this season and begin to ask the Bible app, read me through the word of God. Thirdly, revere the word of God yourself. God and his word are one. When we say we fear God and we fear him in a holy way, it means the fear of the word of God. It's the same thing. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than a double-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It exposes innermost thoughts and desires. If you want the word to convict you, Read the word. It is sharp. How many been convicted every time you read? So you let God forgive me. Oh my, if we don't know the word, that's why the world is falling apart. Can I tell you what God's word says in Matthew? In the Beatitudes, which everybody should have known from they were a child. Every child should have known. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So when we're living in a day where there's no mercy for nations and peoples and generations, we didn't teach what God's word says that can bring transformation. So then the Bible says in Nehemiah 8 verse 3, when they saw him open the book, they rose to their feet. They were standing in attention. It was a sign of reverence. It meant I'm shutting everything else. I'm removing myself from the commonality of my life and my behavior and my thought pattern, and I'm completely heeding and hearing the word of God. How many know there was a time in our lives growing up, whenever the pastor opened the word of God, what did we do? We stood up. Younger generations, we took that from you, so don't feel bad. We took it from you as we started adding many ways of doing it. So then we don't stand and read the word anymore. But the Bible says that they stood. He didn't say stand up. Please, you stand up. I mean, everybody stand. They says when he opened the word, the reverence for the word of God so consumed them that they all stood to their feet. And the next one in verse 8, Nehemiah 8 verse 6, Bible says they gave praise to God. For at all times, when Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, Amen, Amen, as they lifted their hands. Then they bowed and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. There's a spontaneity. You know what happened? As they stood in reverence, their minds not on their phone or their work or who's beeping them or whatever. They were so consumed by the word that as he's reading it, they're going, so let it be, God. They were amening the word because they were receiving the word. And as they received the word, they began to praise God. Oh, that's so good, God. I can't, oh, I forgot that, God. You see, when you give attention to the word, that's when it comes alive in your spirit. So then the last part is this. They open their mind to understand the word of God. You got to open your mind. Nehemiah 8 said, they read the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand the passage. I know from this pulpit, I have always cut the word, defined it. I give all the explanations I can find in the commentaries or my understanding of God's word. The word interprets the word. I use different Bibles to interpret what one is saying to make sure that I'm giving you clearly the word of God. But your mind has to receive it so that it becomes meaningful. The sickness of our society is we're okay to come up and sit and listen, but we don't want to change. It didn't affect me. I just did God a duty. I showed up at church. That's enough. Nehemiah said, no, it's got to cut. He says, if you don't understand it. See, when you understand something, you do something about it. But James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask. Our generous God, he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. If you don't understand it, he says, ask. He will never rebuke you. And so how should we read God's word? Let me take you through the hows today. We're going to read God's word with intentionality. We're going to read God's word with intentionality. And in the intentionality, I've got a list for you. First of all, would you take every one of you, before that goes off the screen, get your phones. That's what it's for. Phone in church means take good picture. Just give them a minute. Praise God. And put it out there. Put it out there. Put it out there. You're using it for everything else. And look at the food I'm eating. Look at the food I'm eating. Come on. And then next, number five, read God's word with intentionality. When you read the Bible, read it prayerfully. Ask God to illuminate your heart so that you can see what it's saying, you can hear what it's saying, you can do what it's saying. Read God's word thoughtfully. Think about the meaning of the word and the implication that you're reading. Don't just read it and go, that's for so-and-so. No, God, how does that apply to me? Read it thoughtfully. Read God's word repeatedly. You do not gloss over the word or read it as a duty. Instead, read it as a lifeline. Ask, what must I get into my spirit as I'm reading this? So if you can't get it, repeat it. Read it again. There are times I'm studying and I'm reading through, and I'll read it over and over again, and then something jumps out, and I'm like, wow. You ever wonder where I get some of these nuggets? It's because I keep reading it. When I'm reading Nehemiah 1:8, and it says, be unified in purpose, it drops into my mind as I read it over and over. That's what the world needs, unified in purpose. And it begins to come alive. That's what I need in this church, unified in purpose. That's what I need with my staff, unified in purpose. It begins to translate itself into everyday situations. And then read the Bible extensively. Sometimes it's good to read a large portion so you can get the full context, or you could see the transitions. Hence, when we gave you that reading plan that I talked about, what you'll see is there are some days there's longer passages, and there are other days there are quick, short passages. And you adjust that in this Bible reading plan. Every year I go through one. And this is one I designed for the church a couple of years ago, and we're doing it again. And so on Tuesday mornings, it's a day that all staff have to be here. We have a full staff morning, and we don't compromise because we've got to plan the week out. And so sometimes that morning is a little tighter for me. So Wednesdays it's a short reading. So I flip it, and I read Wednesdays on Tuesday, and then Tuesday I can completely read. Read it in different manners and the way it works for you. God's not asking you to be late for work because you were reading. He's saying, figure out what works and read it with extensively putting in plans that work for you. Then also, read the Bible regularly. Make the reading of God's word your habit. You know how happy it is when the Bible is your habit? I prefer to read the Bible. I don't read the Bible on my phone. I don't, because you know what? The minute I would open my phone, right? What's going on? Oh, I'm so distracted because, this is important. Oh, this is important. I go into my corner. Those of you know I've got a little puppy, my little Chusa. Listen, let me tell you about discipline. You discipline yourself in everything, your children will discipline themselves. My dog is so disciplined that when I go into my office, sit by my chair by the window, she jumps up and she'll sit there as long as I'm reading. Where did she get that from? She got it because every day I go and sit there to read the word, and she's come to realize I won't go and do anything else, and so she's like, well, it's sitting time. If my dog can get it, it's our fault if the next generation haven't been taught how to be regularly seeing you do what God is doing. Even when I travel, I have two small Bibles that one fit one or the other. I travel with my Bible. I like reading from the Bible because my phone is my distractor, and I will never give it my morning. I give God the best of my morning. Read it carefully. Do not misinterpret what God is saying or superimpose what you want to hear in what what you're reading. Be very careful. Be very careful. How many of you know people who like to tell the Bible what it's saying? Anybody know some of those? Yeah, you have some friends who are backslidden or grew up in church, and you say something to them and they start to misquote the Bible because they want it to make it say what they want to say? Yes, it's okay. Leave them alone. You read it carefully. so that you don't superimpose anything into it. Be very cautious. Then read the Bible faithfully. There are days when interruptions will happen. Why? Because life happens. And you can't avoid the interruptions of life that are serious. But in faithfulness, you go back to reading. There are times I've had interruptions. What I'll do, you've got markers. We're in such an amazing day. You got many types of markers you can put in your Bible. You got the ones they give you. You got the ones you can buy. You got bookmarks. Whenever I'm not finished, I put a marker in because I've got to finish that reading before the day is over. Discipline yourself in how you're going to be faithful in reading God's word. And the last is this, read the word of God obediently. God's word is written as instruction to each one of us. And a society that's not heeding God's instructions is a society in anarchy. We are moving into anarchy because the word of God is not being followed. And every word God gives us is beneficial for our life. But may I speak to the church online and in-house, the world is moving in anarchy. It is not their problem to bring us back in line. It is our call to bring ourselves back in line so the world sees we're serious that it's the word of God that is the guide and the instruction to help us make it through. So there's another picture you all want to take. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Grab those phones. You're paying all that bill. It's for a reason. You've got it? Online, snap it too. You could take it right off your device. When the society is spiraling out of control and it seems to be endless, what happens in every generation then is that God's word becomes obsolete to them. But this word will never be obsolete. We have to just live it out and live it out. Thy word have I hidden where? In my heart, that I will not sin against you. I want you today, allow the word of God to convict you. Every person. Allow the word of God to convince you. If you've not yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the world's going out of control. You need to get ready. Allow the word of God to correct you. There are many of you, you're Christians, but your behavior needs to be corrected. Go back in the word of God. I don't need to correct you. The word will correct you. Allow the word of God to convert you. Some of you have got ideologies and all kinds of things, and this is how church should be. We've moved beyond that for so long, and yet there's still people, church should be this way. That is your philosophy. Show that to me in the word of God, because I just showed you what the word says we should do. Be unified in purpose, and it's not your purpose. We need to come together and let it convict and correct us, and the word of God should convert every person walking in. Do you know how it's going to convert them? Because when they come in, they could feel the intensity and the seriousness and the reverence for the word of God. So they're changed. How are they going to be changed when the word of God consumes us? I was surprised at how many people wouldn't even try reading the word through for a year. What are you going to do when what we're hearing goes out of control, and it will one day, and you can't know the word of God to sustain you. You don't know it. So I want to tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to read God's word. We're going to read it together. I chose the longest psalm in the Bible, but we won't read the longest psalm. Ezra made them stand, and he read the Torah. They were standing for days. You'll catch on to that in the book of Ezra. But today I just picked a few snippets because we are, we are North American and such, so we can't stand for too long. It could kill us. Unless we were standing in line for a ticket for something. We're going to read God's word together. Would you stand, everyone, and online? Would you just prepare? It'll be on the screen. And we're going to read it purposely. I had you bring your Bibles because I wanted to pull out the Bibles again, but don't read from your Bible this time. That was just because I want everybody to remember, get a Bible, hold it reverently, and keep on faithful to it. But if you don't have the New Living Translation, I'm going to ask you to read from the screen today. That's what we've been using just for unity. So if you don't have a New Living, then just let's read from the screen, or else we will read in confusion. So here we go. Psalm 119. I'm going to read verse 1 to 8. And here's what he was saying, David. There's joy. The joyful follow God's word. That's what he's saying. If you're joyful, you follow God's word. Here we go. Verse 1. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his path. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. I will obey your decrees. Please don't give up on me. Isn't that powerful? Keep going as he read this. Now, Psalm 119, verse 9 to 16. There's a way to become pure. There's a way to become pure. Let's read verse 9. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I've recited aloud all the regulations you've given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Are you feeling it? See, when you read the word out loud, doesn't it make a different tone? Is it doing something different in your spirit as you read it? At home, sometimes read it out loud because it makes a difference rather than reading it just with your mind and then letting your mind drift. Psalm 119, verse 33 to 40. The diligent seek wisdom. Here we go. Me your decrees, O Lord, and I will keep them to the end. Give me understanding, and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all my heart. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. Give me an eagerness for your laws rather than the love of money. Turn my eyes from worthless things and give me life through your word. Reassure me of your promise made to those who fear you. Help me abandon my shameless ways, for your regulations are good. I long to obey your commandments. Renew my life with your goodness. Are you feeling it, folks? Are you going to heed it, or are we just reading it? Here we go. I only have two more. Nope. I think this could be the last one. Hang on. No, I've got two more. Psalm 119, verse 65 to 72. The wise value instructions. You have done many good things for me, Lord, just as you promised. I believe in your commands. Now teach me good judgment and knowledge. I used to wander off until you disciplined me, but now I closely follow your word. You are good and do only good. Teach me your decrees. Arrogant people sneer me with lies, but in truth I obey your commandments with all my heart. Their hearts are dull and stupid, but I delight in your instructions. My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. We'll just stop for a minute. Sometimes we're suffering. God hates me. I'm not going to church till I stop suffering. What does he say? Let's read this again. Let's read that verse again. Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver. In a day when a young generation are busy looking money, 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 more house, more car, higher car, bigger car, more money, more thing, more. God is saying, be careful. If money is your God, then you don't know the God of heaven. And notice how many times he's saying it to remind us, don't put your trust in money because it will fail you like this, but make sure your trust is in Almighty God. There's 176 verses, and I want to just pause here and say, if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, at the end of this service, I want you to come down here to our prayer leaders and just tell them, I've got to make it right with God because I've been off. I've been wondering. My mind has been here, there, and everywhere. I'm trying everything to prove myself, but I need to just value what God has given me in his word and make sure I commit my life to him that all will go well. And so salvation is accepting Christ as Savior. It's the first step in obedience. You can read all this word all you want, but if you don't want to obey it, then by accepting the Lord as Savior, you're denying yourself the power of the word in your life. And all you do, the Bible says in Romans 9:10, openly declare that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that he raised from the dead and you will be saved. For it is in believing in your heart that you are made right. And it is in confessing, declaring it to someone that I've made the decision that you are saved. Today, our prayer leaders will come to the altar at some point now, and you are going to come and say, I am making a public declaration before you, whomever you are, that I am going to get my life right with God. But the last selection, let's read this as the worship team prepares to lead us now in praise, because that's what they did. Psalm 119, verse 105 to 112. What is the caption here? The honest, are you honest? Then you treasure God's word. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my... I've promised it once, and I'll promise it again. I will obey your regulations. I've suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as you promise. Lord, accept my offering of praise and teach me your regulations. Constantly hangs in the balance. I will not stop obeying your instructions. The wicked have set traps for me, but I will not turn from your commandments. Your laws are my treasure. They're my heart's delight. I'm determined to keep your decrees to the very end. Is that your cry this morning?
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.